ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This morning we are reading from the 12th canto, chapter 10, and we're covering verses 15 to 20, I think. 22, okay. So we'll just, since it's the last verse that has the prayer book, we'll just start from verse number 15 and do it together. The Sanskrit, and I'll do the English, and one at a time, and then we will do verse number 22 responsibly. Okay. Let's do it together. Tasmai sarpayam yadadhat saganaya sahomaya swagatatana patyardhya gandhasa dhupadipakai. Markandeya worshipped Lord Shiva along with Uma and Shiva's associates by offering them words of welcome, sitting places, water for washing their feet, scented drinking water, fragrant oils, flower garlands, and aarti lamps. Ahatvatman bhavena purnakamasyate vibho karavama kim ishana yenedam nivitam jagat. Markandeya said, O mighty Lord, what can I possibly do for you, who are fully satisfied by your own ecstasy? Indeed, by your mercy, you satisfy this entire world. Namah Shivaya Shantaya Sattvaya Pramridaya Cha Rajo Jushe Tha Ghoraya Namastubhyam Tamo Jushe. Again and again, I offer my obeisances unto you, O all auspicious transcendental personality. As the Lord of goodness, you give pleasure in contact with the mode of As the Lord of goodness, you give pleasure. In contact with the mode of passion, you appear most fearful. And you also associate with the mode of ignorance. Suta vacha evam stuta sa bhagavan adi deva satam gati paritushta prasannatma prahasamsam abhashata. Suta Goswami said, Lord Shiva, the foremost demigod and the shelter of saintly devotees, was satisfied by Markandeya's praise. Pleased, he smiled and addressed the sage. Shri Bhagavan uvacha varam vrinishva na kamam vara desha vayam traya amogham darshanam yesham martyo tad vindate mritam. Lord Shiva said, please ask me for some benediction. Since among all givers of benedictions, we three, Brahma, Vishnu, and I, are the best. Seeing us never goes in vain, because simply by seeing us, immortal achieves immortality. Brahmana sadhava shanta nissanga bhuta vatsala ekanta bhakta asmasu nirvaira samadarshina saloka loka palastan vandantya charantu pasate aham cha bhagavan brahma swayam cha hari ishwaraha. The inhabitants and ruling demigods of all planets, along with Lord Brahma, the Supreme Lord Hari, and I, glorify, worship, and assist those Brahmins who are saintly, always peaceful, free of material attachment, compassionate to all living beings, purely devoted to us, devoid of hatred, and endowed with equal vision. We'll do this responsibly. Na te mayachute jecha. Natyachute jecha bhidam anvapi chakshate natmanascha janasyapi tadyushman vayam imahi నాతే మయ్యుచ్యుతే జేచ భీదాం అంబాపి చక్షతే నాత్మనశ్చ జనస్యాపి తద్యుష్మాన్ వయం ఈమహి. Please chant. నాత్మనశ్చ జనస్యాపి తద్యుష్మాన్ వయం ఈమహి. నాతే మయ్యుచ్యుతే జేచ ధీరాం అంబాపి చక్షతే నాత్మనశ్చ జనస్యాపి తద్యుష్మాన్ వయం ఈమహి. నాతే మయ్యుచ్యుతే జేచ ధీరాం అంబాపి చక్షతే నాత్మనశ్చ జనస్యాపి తద్యుష్మాన్ వయం ఈమహి. నాతే మయ్యుచ్యుతే జేచ ధీరాం అంబాపి చక్షతే నాత్మనశ్చ జనస్యాపి తద్యుష్మాన్ వయం ఈమహి. నాతే మయ్యుచ్యుతే జేచ ధీరాం వాపి చక్షతే ఆత్మనశ్చ జనస్యాపి తద్యుష్మాన్ వయం ఈమహి. వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్. నా డు నాట్ తే దే మయి ఇన్ మీ వి కెన్ డూ టుగెదర్ అచ్యుతే ఇన్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు అజే ఇన్ లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ చ అండ్ Bhidam, difference, Anu, slight, Api, even, Chakshate, see, Na, not, Atmanaha, of themselves, Cha, and, Janasya, of other people, Api, also, Tat, therefore, Yushman, yourselves, Vayam, we, Imahi, worship. Translation by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. These devotees do not differentiate between Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and me, nor do they differentiate between themselves and other living beings. Therefore, because you are this kind of saintly devotee, we worship you. Purport. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are, respectively, manifestations of the creating and annihilating potencies of the personality of Godhead Vishnu. Thus, unity exists among these three ruling deities of the material world. One should not, on the basis of the modes of nature, find material duality within the ruling potency of the Supreme Lord, although that potency is manifested in three divisions as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So this morning, we're going to discuss about a devotee's heart, his qualities, how his actions are. Because here Lord Shiva is saying, because you are this kind of saintly devotee, we worship you. What kind of saintly devotee? He says, they do not differentiate between Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and me. So they don't differentiate between these three, and he says, because you are this kind of devotee. So question arises, at least in my mind, what does that mean? Does Markandeya not differentiate between Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva? Does he see that they're all one? Are they one? No, they're not one. He doesn't see they're one, but yet he does not differentiate. In the previous chapter, chapter number 8, if you remember, Lord Nar and Narayan came to visit Markandeya. So when they came there, Markandeya Rishi said something in praise of Nar Narayan, Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, "Oh, Almighty Lord, how can I possibly describe you? You awaken the vital air which then impels the mind, senses, and power of speech to act. This is true for all ordinary conditioned souls and even for great demigods like Brahma and Shiva." So certainly he did not see as Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma to be on the same level. In other words, he knew their identity. He saw them as the demigods, and Krishna giving them, awakening the vital air. So then, what does that mean? These devotees do not differentiate. How does Markandeya not differentiate between Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva? So let's go into again that chapter, chapter 8, where Nar Narayan come and how Markandeya receives these rishis. He says, Sutta Goswami says, when Markandeya saw them, he immediately stood up and then with great respect offered them obeisances by falling down flat on the ground like a stick. Markandeya felt such eagerness that he imagined he was embracing the two lords. In a voice choked with ecstasy, he repeatedly said, "I offer you humble obeisances." And then he gave them sitting places, washed their feet, and then he worshipped them with presentations of argya, sandalwood pulp, fragrant oils, incense, and flower garlands. So everybody heard how he worshipped them? He again, after doing that, he again bowed down at the lotus feet of those two most worshipable sages. So, we can see that he, and then he praised them, with which I already said, how can I possibly describe you, awaken the vital air. So he offered them obeisances, he offered some articles of worship, and then he gave something in praise. So what happens when, in today's verses, when Lord Shiva came with his associates? What does he do then? It describes, we have been reading, we just read, Markandeya then offered his respectful obeisances by bowing his head. Markandeya worshipped Lord Shiva along with Uma and Shiva's associates by offering them words of welcome, sitting places, water for washing their feet, scented drinking water, fragrant oils, flower garlands, and aarti lamps. So it seems like he did the same exact thing what he did for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, "O mighty Lord, what can I possibly do for you who are fully satisfied by your own ecstasy? Indeed, by your mercy, you can satisfy the entire world." So he said some things in praise of Lord Shiva. So that's one way, at least for me, as I was given these verses, to understand how a devotee does not differentiate. We did understand that he did see there is a distinction between them, and yet at the same time, he did not differentiate between the three. another aspect. Again, we're talking about Markandeya, his devotional attitude, and other Vaishnavas. So one aspect, another aspect that we see in these verses that are given, Markandeya worshipped Lord Shiva along with Uma and Shiva's associates by offering them words of welcome, sitting places, water for washing their feet, scented drinking water, fragrant oils, flower garlands, and arti lamps. So he did not differentiate between any one of them. If you think about who are Lord Shiva's associates, can anybody think what kind of associates he normally travels with? Yes. He did not differentiate between them. It's not that he just offered worship to Uma. No, I mean to Shiva. He offered worship to Mother Uma and to his associates. It's a very important point that we see how Markandeya received all the Vaishnavas, all of them, all these souls, with everything. It's not that he just washed Lord Shiva's feet and he did not wash Uma's feet, or he didn't wash the associates. He did for everybody. So that is something very important to notice. I don't remember the past, and maybe Pushkar Prabhu would know, or somebody else would know. I kind of remember about something somebody saying about Bhakti Siddhanta, and he was going to stay or take prasadam or stay there, and he sent his, I heard this, anything I hear is I hear from this seat here, that he sent his servants to see how they treat him. And then they came back and told them how they were treated, the servants. And then he sent them again to another grihastha and another grihastha, and went to the grihastha where they treated them very nicely, just like they would treat him. Then he decided to go there. I don't know if anybody remembers that. I know I didn't make it up. It's something that I heard somebody giving a class here, but I couldn't do a search on it. But yeah, it's a very important point that how Markandeya was such a Vaishnava, and therefore Lord Shiva is expressing about him. Now, just in probably on Friday, I wasn't here, but I'm assuming these verses that you must have heard, that when Uma came, and when they were Uma and Lord Shiva and the associates were flying in the plane, they saw Markandeya, and Uma said, Mother Uma said, "Oh, look at this devotee. He's so calm, so peaceful. He's so serene. You know, we should, you are Lord Shiva. You should give him, he deserves some boon. So you should give him some boon." And then, what did Lord Shiva say? Does anybody remember what Lord Shiva said? He doesn't need it. So Lord Shiva said he doesn't need it. And what else did he say? Sorry? Okay. And what else did he say?
That he's self-satisfied?
Yes. And one more thing that I'm looking for.
He doesn't need anything.
Yes. Something else.
He wouldn't ask for anything.
He said, okay, thank you. All those what you said is correct. But there's one more thing he said. He said, I don't have it here. Let me see here. He said, "Still, my dear Bhavani, let us talk with this saintly personality. After all, association with saintly devotees is man's highest achievement." This is what he said. In other words, he doesn't need anything. But I need something. I want to go and get association. Let us all go and get his association. So that was, again, Mother Uma is a perfect Vaishnavi who's saying that she's so enlivened, so appreciative of this Rishi, and she wants to give something. A Vaishnava is always thinking, when they appreciate somebody, they want to give something. So as a Vaishnavi, as a mother, she felt like she wanted to give something. So she knew that her husband can give everything. So she asked him, give something. But Lord Shiva said, he doesn't need anything. He has the love of God. But I need this. I need his association. So we see that this is, again, the heart of a devotee. Then what happens? After Markandeya receives him and does his welcome, what does Lord Shiva say? Now, again, these are the verses that we read today. He said, he said to Markandeya, please ask me for some boon. Now, isn't he just told Uma that he doesn't need anything? And now he's saying to Markandeya, please ask me for some boon. Do you see what's happening here? Do you see the exchange between the Vaishnavas? How he's feeling? He knows he doesn't need anything, and he wants to himself go and have his association. After he receives Markandeya's association, his heart is full of love. So even he knows that he doesn't need anything, he wants to give him something. And he's saying, please ask me for some boon. So this, we see, is the heart of a Vaishnava. And then we see Markandeya. Markandeya, when he praised Lord Shiva, after he worshipped him and everything, and all the associates, he said, O mighty Lord, what can I possibly do for you who are fully satisfied by your own ecstasy? Again, these words show that Markandeya wants to do something for Lord Shiva. He wants to offer some service. But he knows that Lord Shiva, he is fully satisfied. And so, and not only is fully satisfied, he says, by your mercy, you satisfy this entire world. So then, what can I possibly do for you? And then what does he do? He says, again and again, I offer my obeisances unto you. He can't do anything. He says, I can't do anything, but I offer my obeisances unto you. I mean, we see that in our own lives. So many times we feel so grateful to devotees around us that they have done so much for us, and we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say to them. We don't know, but we can do is offer obeisances, or I find myself just giving hugs, you know, because you just feel so thankful for having their association. And this is where Markandeya is feeling, that he offers his obeisances again and again. In the verse number 17, this is where it is, describes Namaha Shivaya Shantaya. And then again, Namastubhyam. He's offering his obeisances again and again. So the heart of a Vaishnav, Narottam Das Thakur, today I'm going to say about Narottam Das Thakur as opposed to Bhaktivinod Thakur. And Dharmaraj Prabhu is wondering when I'm going to say something like Bhaktivinod Thakur's bhajan. That's the heart, actually, the bhajans. That's why I personally just love the bhajans, because that's the heart of our Vaishnava Acharyas, and we get to know them, what's in their heart. And Narottam Das Thakur, as we know, that he, Lord Chaitanya, deposited the prema in his heart. So Narottam Das Thakur says in the bhajan Dhanamora Nityananda, Advaita Acharya Bala Gadadhara Mora Kula. He says, Advaita Acharya is my strength and Gadadhar is my family. Family is what? Where is this intimacy? Where we go with each other. Where there is, where we feel enlivened. Ideal family. But yes, a Krishna conscious family, yes. Actually, on Friday, just this Friday, we were at Krishna house, and I was talking to this devotee, and he was just a month at Krishna house, and I was just asking him questions about his life and stuff like that. And then he says, I love this Krishna house. It actually, this is, he said, this is my real family. And here all my emotional needs are satisfied. And it's not that this devotee, giving you a little background about this devotee, is a real person in the, you know, I mean, somebody could say that because they had such a bad this or that or whatever, and they, you know. But this devotee, this young boy, he's such in the mode of goodness. His apparently he was going to school in Orlando, and then he left his studies in the middle, his bachelor's degree, to go and take care of his parents, who apparently got into a bad, very bad accident. And so he left his work, his studies, took care of them for 9 months or so till his mother was able to walk. And then, because of what their problem was, he actually went to school to get some kind of certification so that he could actually help his parents more. And he did that, and then he worked and whatever, and then after a certain time, then he had met the devotees in Orlando, but at that stage, he decided to come to Krishna house and be there. So, but yes, he felt that this is my family. This is what Narottam Das Thakur is saying, Gadadhar Morakula, Gadadhar is my family. And as I said, in family, we have all kinds of interactions with each other. While I was meditating on this verse, and I thought about an incident that happened to me in Mayapur. This was 5 years ago. And we had gone for the Abhishek of Panchatattva and the Kirtan Mela. So they had, for the Abhishek, since big crowd, they had sectioned off with a rope for Srila Prabhupada's disciples so they could sit, so that all the craziness and chaos could, they would be freed from that chaos. And so they were had sectioned. So my dear husband, Sishtu, said, you can come too. And I said, no, but please find out whether I can. He said, no, Narishwar said, you know, family could come. I said, no, please go and find out if it's really, if it's fine for me to come. So he personally went and asked him again, and he said, sure. So so I was sitting, I came there, and there were devotees there, and we're all sitting there. And the Vaishnavis were sitting towards Shivas and Gadadhar, and the men were more on the side of Advaita Acharya and Nityananda. So I was basically against the rope. So as these devotees were coming from that side, the Vaishnavis, one Vaishnavi came and her eyes just fell on me. And she said, with knitted eyebrows, with crunched up nose, who is she? That was one. Then she said, who is this? What is she doing here? So I'm like, I am legal here. I got a legal visa, and there's not going to be any deportation proceedings for me here. But I said to myself, Manumati, just sit down quietly here, tolerate, and just accept. So I just kind of sat there. Then Malati Devi, who was sitting, not right in front of me, but a little bit on the side, she turned around and very affectionately started talking to me, asking about my welfare and whatever, whatever. And wow, I felt like, you know, protection. Somebody was going to take care of me here. I felt safe. And then after, as she was talking to me, turning like that to the back and talking to me, then I think she noticed, I don't know if you know, this devotee, Prashanta. She wears white. She's looking at Maharaj's disciple, and she takes care of all the retreats and Vaishnavi retreat and a real leader in our society. So Maharaj Devi indicated her, come. And she was like, no, this is section. This is for the brahmanas. I mean, I felt like when that Mataji said like that, I mean, I felt like an untouchable. I felt like a shudra in the midst of brahmanas, you know, or I felt like what is this crow doing in the midst of us swans, you know. So, that was the feeling I got. So Prashant certainly didn't want to come there. Not that she knew all that, but she knew that this is roped off. But Malati Devi insisted, you come. So she came. She sat down with us and quietly, she said, just sit there quietly. And so the story doesn't end here. There's a little extra part, very significant part. So then the Abhishek hadn't started, and this other Vaishnavi who had expressed these thoughts about me, she had water. So she was giving the water to her other god sisters. And she then looked at me, and she also gave me the water. I could see that there was some change of heart there. And I accepted that. This is what happens in family. We're all together as a family trying to progress. And there's so much in this little incident. I could just give a class on this whole incident, that what everybody might have gone through, or this or that or whatever. But at least for myself, as I was meditating on Markandeya Rishi, as I was meditating on this class, I realized for myself it's most important to understand that there should be no differentiation on my part between Malati Devi and this other Vaishnavi. Whether she had changed her heart or not, but the fact is, these are Vaishnavas. And for whatever reason she may have expressed, in one sense, there was nothing wrong for her to express that. Maybe not the, you know, frown, and maybe not the nose, and, you know, like that. But in one sense, there was nothing wrong with that, because we have to make a certain distinction, because if we don't make a distinction, how can we have these devotees who have dedicated their lives for so many years to give them the proper respect, to give them deference? So that is important. That is done. Just like Markandeya did differentiate, he did mention who Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva was. He did differentiate that, and yet he did not differentiate. He made the distinction, but did not differentiate. I guess I use those two words, to differentiate or whatever. Anyway, but yes, not to make differentiation between the two Vaishnavis, because they are Vaishnavis, and this is what happens in family life. In family life, one person helps us to become more tolerant, other person makes you feel comfortable, and maybe another time the other, just like this Vaishnavi, made me feel better afterwards. So this is Vaishnavs. Vaishnavis are very much our family, and we see them as family, then whatever different things may go on, we will love them, we will accept them, we will pay our respects to them. Narottam Das further says in this bhajan, Vaishnavera padadhuli tahe mora snana keli tarpan mora vaishnavera naam Tarpanamura Vaishnaviranam. He says that my bath is the dust of the feet from the Vaishnavas. I was thinking, it's such a nice thing that Srila Prabhupada has trained us that as we come in the temple room, we pay our obeisances down on the floor, not like this. Not we just go like this. But sometimes I see Indian people, they touch the ground and touch to their head. So that's pretty good. But just going like this, it deprives us from Vaishnavera Pada Dhuli. And it's nice that devotees go around, you know, we are in front of Srila Prabhupada, all the Vaishnavas are coming there, their dust from their lotus feet are there, and we pay obeisances, and then we go and we pay our obeisances, and we touch the dust from their feet. So automatically, every day as we come to the temple, we are taking the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. And then, Tarpanamora Vaishnaveranam, Narottam Das Thakur is saying that my only satisfaction is, my satisfaction is the names of the Vaishnavas. Earlier on, he's talking about Gadadhar, Narahari, Advaita Acharya, saying their names. So saying the names of our Acharyas, another aspect I was thinking, like when we say the Prema Dhvani prayers, where they're saying all the different names of Bhakti Devi, Tulsi Devi, Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Prabhupada, all these names are Haridas Thakur, all these names are being uttered. And it's so nice as they're uttered and we hear them and we get purified. And this is our satisfaction. Just to hear the Prema Dhvani prayers is our satisfaction. But again, our Vaishnavas is not our only the Acharyas and those previous to us. Our Vaishnavas are those around us to able to feel great satisfaction in saying, oh, Mother Agatmika, oh, Ekadashi, oh, Kirtaniya, who is my wish-fulfilling desire tree. She gives me anything what I want, anytime. You know, oh, my dear husband. You know, today was his birthday and I didn't know how to thank him, but said, heart gratitude, thank you. Thank you for setting the example, you know. To be able to say expressions to Pushkar Prabhu, how come you don't give any class anymore? Well, that's a complaint. It's not a satisfaction. But the satisfaction for all the classes that we have heard from him. Sit down and he would give these classes with all the shlokas rattling from his mouth and just like so, nectar to hear. To appreciate the devotees, to just saying their name. Just saying their name. Like Haridas Prabhu. He said such nice kirtan today. Just say his name. It's just so beautiful. This is, he's saying that this is our satisfaction. And the third stanza, he says, Vaishnavera uchishtha tahe mora mananishtha Vaishnavere namete ullas Vaishnavere namete ullas. He's saying that the Vaishnavas, uchishtha, their remnants, he's convinced that that's everything. Now you have to understand culturally, uchishtha, to eat the remnants of somebody, even amongst family members, as degrade, it's like low. Like my mother would tell me, or not tell me, but she would, in the family, she would say, yeah, these Muslims, you know how they eat? They eat in one plate. They're all eating their juda, their contaminated in the family. Like they come together and they just eat out of one plate. Uchishta, that's like remnants are considered really bad. This process of bhakti, what we consider bad, is the highest. Narottam Das Thakur is saying, this is, he's convinced that eating the remnants of the Vaishnava. And then again he says, Vaishnavera namete ullas. He feels great joy in saying the name of the Vaishnavas. Wow, so there's something about saying the names of the Vaishnavas. He said that twice. Once is satisfaction, and another that it is his great joy. So dear devotees, We're so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given us the association of each other, and we can take great pride in having such association we have here in Alachua, and we should try to always serve each other, appreciate each other, and that's kind of Vaishnava. When we become that kind of Vaishnava, it describes, Lord Shiva is describing here that in the verse number 19, he says, 18, he says, where does he say? Oh, yeah, 21 actually. The inhabitants and ruling demigods of all planets, along with Lord Brahma, the Supreme Lord Hari, and I glorify, worship, and assist those Brahmins who are saintly, always peaceful, free of material attachment, compassionate to all living beings, purely devoted to us, devoid of hatred, and endowed with equal vision. Thank you very much, dear Vaishnavs. I'd like to offer my obeisances onto all of you again. Vansha Kalpataru Bhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patita Nam Pavani Bhiv Vaishnavi Bhiv Namaha. If you have any reflections, questions, comments, please do so.
Hari Bol Maharaji.
Hi, Krishna Tivakam. Yeah,
beautiful, wonderful class. So, Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are extra special. But there's etiquette to be followed also, and I guess sometimes when we transgress those etiquette, then things become a little bitter. You know, meaning, like you are given that story there, you know, I don't know on what how that other person was perceiving you, or you know why, but you know, I mean, of course, it's to the air, that's very bitter, you know. But like I say, Vaishnavas are of different categories, and we have to observe those etiquette, you know, in dealing with different Vaishnavas.
Yes, you're absolutely right that we learn on our Rupa Goswami expresses in his Nectar of Instruction how to deal with different Vaishnavas. Yes, it is important that we do know that. And yet in the situation I described, I feel this Vaishnavi was or is a worshipable for me. Yes, she is worshipable. And yes, she has, by her expression, I learned something maybe not to do. And yet at the same time, something to do by reading the Bhagavatam in the association of other Vaishnavas. What is the right thing for another Vaishnava? How to take it if they're in that situation? And that is to offer obeisances. Yes, yes. There's nothing wrong. It's definitely offer obeisances and see no difference between one who gave me affection and one who taught me how to be tolerant. That is what here Lord Shiva is praising, Markandeya Rishi. That's what he's praising. And we see how he respected everybody, Uma, Lord Shiva, and the associates. So yeah, we have to come to that level. Any other question? Yes, Dhamraj Guru.
Hare Krishna. So, enough for the class. What time is the Vyasa Puja celebration?
Yes, again, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's Vyasa Puja celebration is at 5 o'clock, and Nandini Kishori.
Anyway,
such an amazing Vaishnav. I can, again, a person who does not differentiate, that's Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He saw everybody equally. Bhakti Maharaj was talking about that we have a caste culture in our movement. On one hand, I was thinking, in some sense, we have to differentiate in the sense of see everybody as sannyasi. Yeah, we have to bow down, we do. But to actually respect, and I think that's the point I think Maharaj was making, to respect everybody. And so that's Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj respected everybody, whether it's a sannyasi, householder, children, and he dealt with them accordingly, in a respectful and affectionate way. That was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, my own personal experience. I always love to tell the story about how he had us over for prasadam, and he had a little table for Braja and Tanaya. Little table. He arranged for a little table. So they were little girls, so he arranged a little table so they had their own table with their place and everything. This is called affection. That's how what you do to younger people. You respect them by giving them affection. So, yes, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is all glories to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Yeah.
So, you know, I was thinking about coming back to your incident in Mayapur.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally, there was an incident on Saturday where I ended up in an exchange with Mother Mukhi and myself. Even during the day, she was texting me. You know, we were going back and forth. And it kind of reflects on the same incident that you're talking about, that from one hand, as an individual, that devotee, you know, everyone should take a humble position. From a service position, we don't know what position she had, whether she was a manager, had to make sure the rules are being upheld, or whatever the case may be, and acting in so many different ways. So there are so many different ways you can see that.
Yeah.
I remember sometime back, we went to the Krishna lunch on campus, and we were going back for a second, so we had our plate. So one devotee said, in the group that I was in, that let him just go up front because he already had, you know, had his used plate and whatever. And Kalakanda Prabhu told him no, that if you allow him to do that, he's just going to disturb the whole morale of what's going on and everybody, so please go back. And then on another occasion, while I was at Krishna house, and he was, you know, he's the boss there, but he was way to the back of the line, joining the line, to follow protocol, as with everybody else. So I went behind him, and he said no, he brought me up front and put me up front, and he went back to the back. You know, so it's just like a contrast, but in that devotee's position, you know, we don't know what her position is, and sometimes just to keep the rule, sometimes you have to, what we say, break the rule, right?
Yeah,
or to go above the law, to maintain the law. So there are all different things, even though, so Vaishnav culture has to be there, so then there are so many different angles.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Of course, respect, that's foremost.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other ladies like to make some comment, reflection, question? Yes, Nika.
Thank you for the wonderful class. I just as a reflection on maybe for me how to understand what you were saying. I think like you presented the way things should be ideally, mm-hmm. and it's certainly something I aspire for. Yet sometimes I notice like for myself I have to know like where I'm at, what I'm dealing with, and I have to take precautions so that I don't get discouraged. Like, I'm thinking, you know, for somebody like yourself and others who are so fortunate and pious, from a pious background, when you come from a very loving family, then when you come to an environment where, you know, somebody may look at you sternly, you know, you can take it as that, you know, like, okay, I need to learn tolerance here, and you can move on. But when you come from a background where maybe, you know, you went through a lot of abuse or trauma, then when you meet with negativity, especially if it repeats a lot, mm-hmm. you have to take that distance so that you don't get affected. So anyway, I was just thinking, you know, because we come from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
But of course, we see that as the ideal and as the aspiration, that's where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it seems like we have to know everybody where we are at in this journey, and we have to take the measures to also, so that we can continue going on towards that goal. So anyway, thank you for the ideal example and for the encouragement.
Thank you for being able to express what you expressed and feeling safe to be able to express it in the Association of Other Vaishnav. The only thing that I have to say in regards to what you said, that yes, we do have to, we all are on different levels, different situations. And I think the main thing is sometimes it's just to just offer, sometimes, like you said, just keep a certain distance some in situations and offer respects in your mind, and then maybe keep a safe distance, you know, when situations that are not comfortable and like that. And that is also ideal. That is certainly ideal, to be able to see where I am at, how I kind of see this particular situation, this particular devotee, and not to say anything negative, and to be able to respect from a distance, and maybe keep a distance. And that way we are not offensive in our mind. You know. So that is also ideal. So you're being ideal. Any other questions? Yes, Shigrangi.
Very nice class, thank you. I really wanted to express my appreciation for this point you make throughout your class about giving respect and differentiating and discriminating. Because in this modern day of social media, we hear about everybody's faults before we even meet them. And there's this group mentality that can occur that, oh, this person did this and then da da da, and they never got reprimanded or whatever. And to be giving the, even if it's a distant respect, but not to come across with anger and hatred towards the person, it makes us, keeps us lighthearted and able to receive blessings that we don't even know are around. So I appreciated that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Shigar. And I wanted to mention that how you actually, you know, knowing you and you being a friend, I think the nice example that you set in such situations that you always say, you know, I'm praying for that devotee. So if there's some situation where even with you is to pray for the other Vaishnav. You may have to keep a distance, or you don't want to hear or whatever, or they did something wrong. You can always pray to Krishna for them. Okay, any other questions, points? No? Thank you so much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.